You know that we love our on-demand listeners here at Lutheran Public Radio. Now, if you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. in 2008, please consider making a year-end gift to help support this worldwide outreach. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and mail it to LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. LPR, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us as we approach the end of 2008.
I understand and accept that I am violating the law of the Roman Catholic Church, but I believe the law is unjust.
Our Father and Mother, who art in heaven.
Jean, do you consider yourself a good Catholic?
I do, yes. I do.
What I like to say is that the church has already changed. It's the Vatican that's behind.
The voices of two women who claim to be priests in the Roman Catholic Church, there are a few of them out there. They say that they've been ordained to be priests in the Roman Catholic Church. Of course, the Vatican and the rest of the Roman Catholic Church do not recognize their ordinations or their service as priests. So what do they claim? Good Catholics just out of step with the Vatican, who's out of step with the church. Is that the way it works? We're going to be talking about that, hearing this NBC News story on women who've decided to become priests in the Roman Catholic Church. Colleen Carroll Campbell will join us to talk about it, along with the story about a California priest who has urged his parishioners to consider going to confession if they voted for Barack Obama. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or email us right here in the studio on this Monday, December the 1st. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. In about a half hour, in hour two, Dr. Victor Raj will join us to talk about the terrorist attacks in India. And then we'll review an Advent sermon preached by Pastor George Borghardt of St. Mark Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. This Sunday began the season of Advent that's coming up here later on Issues Etc. Before we bring Colleen Carroll Campbell on to talk about these two issues, let's hear the story about these women who are acting as priests in the Roman Catholic Church from NBC.
The Catholic Church is facing a severe shortage of priests these days. The church only allows men to be ordained, but as NBC's Ann Thompson discovered, a small and fervent group of women is determined to change all that.
Take this, all of you, and eat it.
Do this in memory of me.
They are unlikely rebels living Gandhi's mantra, "Be the change you believe in." They believe women should be Catholic priests, and today they say they are. Jane Vaya is a law and order kind of person. By day, she enforces man's law as a deputy district attorney in San Diego. But on weekends, she breaks the law of the Catholic Church, serving as a priest.
Jesus gave both keys to all disciples.
I understand and accept that I am violating the law of the Roman Catholic Church, but I believe the law is unjust.
Raised Protestant, Jane converted to Catholicism at 18. She married in the church, raised her children Catholic, even taught at a Catholic university, all the while feeling women could do more.
Over the past 30 years, I have done everything I knew to try to change the church. I remained in the church. I virtually never missed Sunday Mass or a holy day. I participated in parish life in every way I knew how.
It wasn't enough. Then she learned of the Women Priests Movement. It began in 2002 with the ordination of seven women on the Danube River. Jane joined their ranks in 2006.
What I like to say is that the church has already changed. It's the Vatican that's behind.
The church argues the reason women can't be priests is theology, not biology. It points to the Last Supper, the night before Jesus died. Here at the beginning of the priesthood, Jesus surrounded himself only with male disciples.
We say they're not priests, legal or otherwise. They just aren't priests because the church cannot ordain women.
The women priests say their legitimacy comes from the actions of a few male bishops who ordained the first women 6 years ago and elevated two to bishop. The identities of those men still secret for fear of reprisal. Today, there are 35 women in the U.S. alone who claim to be ordained. While the Vatican has yet to take strong action against them,
let them make the necessary changes to become peacemakers.
Just last week, it excommunicated Father Roy Bourgeois, a Maronite priest, for presiding over this ceremony last August, raising new fears of reprisal.
This is the Lamb of God who takes away the brokenness of our world.
Despite those risks, Jean Marchand continues to lead a Catholic community outside Boston. This married mother and grandmother uses a Protestant church because no Catholic church will give her a home. At first glance, these services look like traditional masses, but listen closely.
Our Father and Mother, who art in heaven.
The prayers include both male and female imagery, reinforcing what the women say is God's notion of equality.
I think simply by being who I am and living in this body that God has given to me, I think that opens doors for people where they feel that they will be heard in a way that they haven't been heard before.
Jean, do you consider yourself a good Catholic?
I do. Yes, I do.
Even though you're a woman acting as a priest and the Catholic Church says you can't be a priest.
Well, I'm back to two things, tradition and conscience. And my tradition teaches that conscience is paramount, and so I'm following my conscience.
So are many of her congregants, like Jamie George and her husband Jim Fitzgerald. They say they cannot worship in a place that excludes.
I welcome everyone, and I feel like my church should be the same way. I would feel like such a hypocrite if my church didn't welcome all that I loved.
Whether considered trailblazers or heretics, these women hope someday their gender will no longer be an issue, and all that will matter is their faithfulness to God. For today, Ann Thompson, NBC News, Weston, Massachusetts.
Colleen Carol Campbell joins us to talk about this story and another. She's St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me.
So are these ladies or are they not priests?
Well, they're not validly ordained Catholic priests. They, there are all sorts of folks down through history who have claimed to be something they're not, but if the church says you're not validly ordained, you're not a validly ordained Catholic priest.
They say, at least one of them says, they're well aware that they're breaking Vatican law. Is there any precedent whatsoever? I mean, people have claimed. Is there any precedent for the ordination of women to the priesthood in the Roman Catholic Church?
No, I mean, I don't think there's a valid scriptural precedent or a precedent within, you know, valid Catholic tradition. There's, of course, plenty of precedent, though, for people who, break long-standing scriptural teachings and then claim to be doing so within the realm of Christian orthodoxy. That's, of course, a problem that all sorts of churches face. And you know, this whole idea of women priests, there's a lot of breathless reporting on this every few years from the mainstream media, and it's not really all that new. If you look back at the feminist theologians of the 60s and 70s, they were making all of these same claims and arguments. And, you know, every couple of years, secular journalists wake up and think this is really exciting and it's going to just rock the 2,000-year-old tradition of the Catholic Church to its core, and it doesn't. And polls have shown that younger women and younger Catholic women just don't really see this as a big issue, as something that they're particularly concerned about being women priests or pushing women priests. It was a big issue for many baby boomer Catholics who were sort of in open rebellion against church tradition for many years after a lot of the chaos that followed the Second Vatican Council. But for the generation that followed them, it is more and more yesterday's news and not really something they see as particularly important.
So I take it isn't a growing movement in the Roman Catholic Church.
You know, I think there's this small group of pretty media savvy and women who are, you know, part of this. I think it's Roman Catholic Women Priests is the newest group that's been getting a lot of press. Of course, a year ago in St. Louis, we had two of them ordained at a Reformed synagogue. I don't know how you quite square that one. But anyway, they claim to be valid priestesses, and, the church said, no, you're not. And they got, they got their 15 seconds of fame. But I don't know that this is a broad movement at all. I don't think it is. I think it's just, again, getting an extra helping of media coverage.
Has the have any bishops in particular had any trouble with this
well,
in the United States?
certainly Archbishop Raymond Burke, who is here in St. Louis, had plenty of trouble with the two women in St. Louis who did this. And, you know, they were excommunicated. There's plenty of precedent for that. There were some women, I think on the Danube in Europe, maybe 2002 was the year. Some of them were, you know, ordained, and I put that in quotes. So, you know, this bubbles up now and then, but the teaching of the church is constant, and it's, you know, it's interesting that the quote that was used in that story by the woman priestess who said, you know, well, there's tradition and there's conscience, and my tradition says my conscience is all that really matters. She didn't add the caveat of all Catholic teaching, which is that conscience, you have a duty to inform that conscience and for that conscience to be well-formed in Scripture and in the teachings of the Church. And you don't have a right to say, well, my conscience tells me to do whatever I want. You can't follow a conscience that hasn't been properly formed. So a malformed conscience and I think a misunderstanding of the significance of sex differences is really what's driving this, along with, I think, a lot of resentment from women who see the priesthood as merely about power, and they want their share of power. And, of course, the priesthood is in its essence about service, and that doesn't mean that every priest lives up to that perfectly, but that's what it's about. It's not about, you know, he's got his power and let me give my share on of the power as well.
We've only got about 30 seconds before we take our first break, Colleen. Someone would say, come on, Colleen, you're a prime candidate. You're smart, you're intelligent, you're well-spoken. If anybody should be a great candidate for the priesthood in your church, it'd be you.
Well, I'd urge that person to read John Paul II's groundbreaking document 20 years ago on the dignity and vocation of women. I just attended a Vatican Congress on it. It's a beautiful explanation of the genius of woman. That's what he calls it. And women, and particularly, for instance, looking to the mother of Jesus as a real exemplar of a disciple for both men and women, and how women have a fundamental role to play in the church and in the culture, but it's not as priests. And as much as Catholics esteem Mary, even Mary was not consecrated a priest. This is, you know, something I can no more be a priest than a man can be a mother, and that's okay.
Colleen Carroll Campbell's our guest. When we come back, a few more questions on this, and then we'll talk about a priest who's urging confession on Obama voters.
I can do anything. I am strong.
What is it, Captain?
Whatever it is, it's incredibly advanced.
Hey, iPhone users, you can now listen to Issues Etc. live on your iPhone. Find out by going to piratechristianradio.com and click the iPhone link on the homepage. You no longer have to sit by your PC, laptop, or home radio to listen to Issues Etc. live. piratechristianradio.com and look for the iPhone icon.
With something much, much more. And it's going to change everything.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Cheryl Sabraki, Linnea Gallo, Mandy Tarvinen, Eric Dombrowski, Donna Lewis, J.C. Flint, John Coletico, Shelley Coletico, Pastor Michael Petrie, and Pastor James Peters. Thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Colin Carroll Campbell's with us for the remainder of this hour. We're talking about women who want to be priests in the Roman Catholic Church in just a moment. A priest who is urging confession on his parishioners who voted for Barack Obama for president. You've written on young Catholics. You mentioned young Catholic women a few minutes ago. Where is the mindset of young Catholics with regard to the teaching of their church, especially vis-a-vis perhaps their parents or their older siblings, the boomers?
Well, certainly the young Catholics that I profiled in my book, The New Faithful, are very attracted to a robust Orthodox Catholicism. They want to follow all of the teachings of their faith, all of the demands of the hard gospel. They don't want it watered down, and they don't want to be dissenters. Otherwise, they figure, what's the point of being a Catholic if you spend all your time railing against the teachings and disobeying them? So that's the group that is vibrant, excited about their faith, and they're the ones, by and large, who are attending Mass and making a big effort to raise their children as Catholics. There are, of course, other disaffected young Catholics. If you look at studies of them, their religious literacy tends to be extremely low. So it tends to be a case, usually, of having almost no knowledge of the teachings of the Church, or at least the reasons behind those teachings. So again, you get less of that boomer sort of fighting the man at the Vatican phenomenon. And in that disaffected crowd, it's more just not knowing, not caring, being almost utterly uncatechized, utterly ignorant of a faith that they might check off on a census box but haven't practiced for years. And increasingly, it seems that young adults are veering to one of those two groups. The mushy middle, I think, in American Christianity in general is dissolving. They're just simply, our culture won't allow you to just sort of drift along and be vaguely Christian. You have to kind of make a clear choice one way or the other.
Josh in St. Louis emails us. He asks, do women priests, such as they are, do they have to be celibate?
Well, I think once you break such a long-standing 2,000-year tradition as these women have, I'm not sure any of the other rules much apply. And I think you find that in these schismatic communities. For instance, it was interesting in the NBC story that the women were praying to, instead of praying the Our Father, they were praying the Our Father, Our Mother prayer, and it was, you know, it was being adapted. A lot of these feminist priestess communities also pray a modified creed that doesn't sound anything like the creed that most of us learned. So, again, I think it's that confusion over sex differences bleeds into a confusion about revelation itself. And if you feel that you personally, because you want to and your conscience tells you to, have a right to overturn revelation and scripture and 2,000 years of tradition, I don't see what would stop you from, you know, tinkering with the creed, the Our Father, and anything else you might think is inconvenient. And by and large, these are, in fact, I think you could safely say all of these groups are ones where dissent from official church teachings on all sorts of things is rampant. It's not simply just the women priesthood.
On another story, we wanted your reaction. In Modesto, California, Father Joseph Illo sent a letter to 15,000 of his parishioners at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Modesto. It read in part, if you are one of the 54% of Catholics who voted for a pro-abortion candidate, you were clear on his position, you knew the gravity of the question, I urge you to go to confession before receiving communion. Don't risk losing your state of grace by receiving sacrilegiously. What's going on here?
Well, it sounds to me like a frustrated priest feels he needed to wake up his parishioners to the fact that so many of them supported a candidate who is probably the most pro-abortion one we've seen in our country. I think it's important to clarify that, you know, the official Catholic Church teaching says that some issues aren't non-negotiable. There is a hierarchy of values in Catholic teaching. The defense of innocent human life, particularly from abortion and euthanasia, ranks at the very top, and Catholics are urged as voters to rank those issues at the top of their priority list. There were some 36 bishops in America who came out during this election season to reiterate that to their flocks, and you know, we even heard the current Pope Benedict back in 2004 when he was asked specifically about this question. He said, look, not all moral issues have the same weight as abortion and euthanasia. You can disagree, perhaps, on which war to wage or whether or not capital punishment is necessary. But he said, and this was in a letter to Washington Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, there may be legitimate diversity of opinion, even among Catholics, on some of those issues, but not with regard to abortion and euthanasia. So that's the background of what this priest was doing. But I think it, you have to be careful, of course, because what, you know, the church did not say, you know, there is no, you know, 11th commandment, thou shalt not vote for Barack Obama. And I think particularly once it gets in the hands of journalists and headline writers, it can get pretty distorted. So I think it was probably good that there was some clarification there that that came out later, saying, you know, the gravity of this in terms of your particular, why you made a particular vote, is not something probably that can be judged externally.
Does it highlight the fact that in American Catholicism there is a failure to understand what you just said, that the life issue in all of its permutations is of a different moral caliber than many of the other issues that people consider when they're voting? Does it highlight a lack of understanding or a lack of recognition of that?
Well, I think the vote for Obama among Catholics certainly did highlight that. Once again, it's important to look at how many of those Catholics were the disaffected ones who checked the census box and how many of the ones who are, for instance, fulfilling one of the most basic requirements of being a Catholic, and that is showing up to Mass each week. And unfortunately, that's not a majority of Catholics. So when you see Catholics went for Obama, and then you look at church-going Catholics, and then you look at the other slice of, you know, maybe those who go to church even more than once a week, you get a very different picture. So unfortunately, the folks who are making treks to the confession booth are probably not the ones who even need to be reached with the message of the church's teaching on the pro-life issue. They're probably the ones who are pretty observant and pretty aware of it. It's more and more, again, those Catholics who, you know, haven't darkened the door of a church in quite a while, or just aren't hearing this from the pulpit and aren't making a great effort to research it and to figure out what the church teaches. So again, you know, I think it gets dicey if you start talking about a vote for a particular candidate equals a mortal sin. I think that's, you know, a misunderstanding of, you know, mortal sin implies a lot of things, including full knowledge of what you're doing and a specific intention. But it is absolutely true that the pro-life issue is, as Pope Benedict XVI said last year, it's the top public policy priority of the Catholic Church, and Catholic voters need to wake up to that. I do think more and more any Catholic voters paying attention have gotten the message this year. Unfortunately, a lot of them just think, again, with our women priestess friend, that, hey, it's all about me and what I feel like doing. It's not about informing my conscience according to Scripture and the teachings of my faith.
Again, and briefly, the younger Catholics, would they, according to your research, tend to be those who would say, oh, come on, I know the life issue is important, but it's not that important?
Actually, the young Catholics, the new faithful whom I profiled, are some of the most ardent pro-lifers. They see the abortion issue as a social injustice, as something akin to segregation or slavery, and they feel a particular obligation to defend the unborn. But certainly we can look at the youth numbers for Obama in general and see that this group is a minority, because so many young adults in America are not religious, or they are not moored to any particular religious tradition, or even among Catholics, they're not well catechized, they don't know the faith. You know, they're checking it off on the box, but they're not showing up to Mass. They're not, you know, they're not deep in the teachings of their faith and in Scripture, and therefore it's not reflected in their votes. So the church has a lot of work to do, but there is a solid core of young people who are absolutely on board with the pro-life cause, and it's often they who are pushing their elders to get more outspoken. And when you look at these priests making some of these bolder statements, including more temperate ones that are simply about the priority of pro-life at the polls, more and more you'll see those are young guys. Those are guys who were raised in the wishy-washy 70s, and now they want to be pretty clear on what the church teaches here.
Finally, with only about 15 seconds, are you hearing anything about the replacement for Archbishop Raymond Burke here in St. Louis?
I'm not. I've heard a lot of rumors, but one of the most recent ones was that we wouldn't hear until Easter. So, you know, despite what you read in the papers, I'm not sure if it'll be that soon.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is a St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and you can read her columns by clicking the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Thanks, Colleen.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, hour two of Issues Etc. on this Monday, the 1st of December. Can you believe it's the 1st of December already? My goodness, where did this year go? We'll be talking with Dr. Victor Raj about terrible stories coming out of India. They have political and religious and international overtones. The terrorist attacks in India will be our subject with Dr. Victor Raj, formerly served as president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Nagercoil, India. And then we'll review an Advent sermon preached by Pastor George Borghardt of St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. Preaching on Advent is a pretty hefty task. You're preaching about judgment. You're preaching about the coming of Christ the first time, the second time. Yesterday began this season, this short season of Advent for the church, began the church's year. We'll see when we review this sermon what Pastor Borghardt has to say on the first Sunday of Advent. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. Feel free to join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or email us talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. When we come back, how do you make heads or tails out of these terrible stories? Bloodshed, fire, destruction, the gunmen themselves are killed. No one knows who did it, why it was done, and it's all happening in the largest democracy on the planet, India. We'll find out what we can find out from Dr. Victor Raj when we come back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.